The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
I want to welcome Uno, Mr. Little One 619 on IG. But let's just go by Uno this morning. Good morning. Welcome to
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, good morning. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Well, so it's interesting. You walked in the room and I said, how are you doing? You're like, good. I'm like, how's it going? You're like, every morning's good. How do you make that happen?
Well, what I was going to tell you is that it's very important to remember that we're too busy worrying about adding more time to our life instead of adding more life to our time.
Oh, talk about it.
That's a jam.
I'm going to drink that in.
It's the truth, though. But see, implementation is everything, though. Because we could say things, we could post things, but if we don't implement them, we don't experience them.
I like that.
It's the truth.
But hold on. When did you come to that realization? Because you didn't always think like that. You know, when you're young and you're going and you don't sleep.
I was a nightmare at some point, yeah.
Yeah. When did you have that realization?
Maybe like 10 years ago.
Okay.
You know, I learned to become an emotional archaeologist almost. And you got to like dig deep and like excavate to truly be able to elevate.
That's a great analogy. You should probably try rapping or something.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, ultimately, I think, you know, trying to live a fulfilled life and a life of joy, like really in personal freedom, is how you get to experience the power of living. Even like with music, a lot of people say, what's the problem with music? I don't think there's anything wrong with the music. I think it's the climate of humanity.
I think it's the
narrative, you know what I mean? And people have platforms, so then they bring that narrative and that inner poverty into the platform, and then it goes into the world.
So do you feel like social media has been good and bad at the same time?
I think it can be both. I mean, it depends on the voice.
It also depends on what you choose to consume.
Yeah, no,
because
for sure.
Because the more negativity you choose to watch, the more that feed is going to hit you, because that is, for some reason, is what you're taking in. How do you avoid that?
It's the foundation of your journey. Like, you have to decide what it is that you want. Do I want to sit here and, like, yesterday on the Uber drive, I heard a song that probably said like 4,000 cuss words in 1 minute. You know, like, I don't want to hear that. You know, but again, at one point in my life, it was a different situation.
Yeah.
So I think it's everybody's like personal journey. And what, like you said, what do you take in?
Do you feel like you have more to say now? Because I mean, I'm not a big cursor. I do once in a while, but I feel like sometimes people curse because they can't think of the words they want to. They have something to say, but they can't exactly put the words together.
I agree with you 1,000,000%. Even like shouting at somebody, you usually shout with someone when you're close to them because you feel so far away from them.
That's incredible right there. Hey. Well, now I can call my mother and everything's fine. Completely healed.
Let's continue the emotional digging, if you may. You also are the founder and owner of the Chicano Music Festival,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And being Chicana myself, I mean, I don't know if you know, I'm the only Mexican-American in the country that has a morning show syndicated.
Yeah, no, I do know. That's great. Congratulations. I think it's beautiful.
It's a big deal, though. Why is it important, not only for the festival, but for us to be representative in a positive way, in your opinion?
Well, I believe that there's too much, we don't really pay attention to like the energetic frequency of our ancestors or our descendants. We're too busy consumed in the microscopic view of what's happening right now, what you think is supposed to be happening. So for me, you know, just being in the game and traveling and doing other festivals, I do see that there's a lot of monetary gain, only the monetary gain. Like, they'll use the word taco or the word michelada or the word tamal, and then they'll put festival and they'll sell alcohol, and it's a monetary gain. It's not really about the culture.
Hey, now, talk about
thank
it.
You. Thank you. Know?
Love
you so
it.
Much.
Love it.
Thank
we'll
you.
Love it.
Uno's got some gems here today.
Yeah. Love that one, brother.
I think that's probably the key to your success and your longevity. It is about the people. I love representing our culture. It's not just, and I also love just getting on the radio and speaking. I think people think that we talk a certain way or that we're only interested in certain things.
Right.
And we're not a monolithic group of people. Like, we all have, we're just families. We're just regular people like anybody else. Why the disconnect in mainstream media? Why the disconnect? Why is it only one thing we're supposed to be?
Well, I think what you guys are doing here is not robotic programming. I think you're just being people.
Yeah. Like, of course.
There's a lot of robotic programming. You know,
explain that.
So I think even in a sense where people go to different cities and hear the same dialogue when they hear the radio.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw you and I was looking at you, you're just a person. You're just talking. You're just you. I'm sure this is just you when you walk out the doors too.
100.
Yeah. So that's the difference. And I think that I think we need more of that. And that is the reason why, again, what you just said, the foundation of the festival. You know, if you go on the news, there's always this microscopic view of what goes wrong in the inner city. There's never the telescopic view of what goes right in the inner city.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
And, so, and people use it and they politicize it to demonize an entire culture of people.
1,000,000%. And so every time that I get the opportunity to get on the platforms, on television or whatever, I make sure and I say that because the telescopic view is there too. You know, and not only that, but even like creating... the festival with the cultural element, mm-hmm. and again with the with the foundation of the ancestors and our descendants. Not only that, but to set up the future. The goal for a 15-year-old kid in the inner city should not be to go to Pelican Bay.
No,
you're right. You're right.
It should be like, you know, people are handing you guns instead of books.
Yeah. But that's the thing. When you live in this small area, let's just say I grew up in the barrio. I didn't even know I was poor. People have to tell you just it's normalized, right? And so maybe the person in your neighborhood that's doing it might not be doing it legally. So you think that's the only way?
1,000,000%.
We've got to share books. We've got to share stories. Our ancestors were storytellers.
Yes.
Right? We told stories. Yeah. And I don't think there's enough of that in our culture to show people, look, you don't have to just do this. And you don't even have to leave the barrio to be successful.
No,
either.
You don't. Geographics don't matter, honestly.
They don't matter at all.
No, they don't. You know, so when I decided to do the festival, I wanted to make sure that I had enough time of growing within myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I was ready and in position to be able to carry the responsibility of that. And not only that, but I wanted to create like a non-traditional, unorthodox lineup.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to get like Tierra and Malo and the Midnighters, but I also wanted to get the Delphonic, Slastic and the Wicked, and Conejo and Shadow and Miss Crazy.
Bring it
and,
all together.
Yeah, and bring them all the generations of music together, and also have mariachis and Aztec dancers and live art and lowriders and vendors and put them all under one umbrella. So a lot of people were like, you're pigeonholing yourself by naming it Chicano Music Festival. I said, absolutely not. I'm actually providing a door for other cultures to come and experience the beauty of our culture.
On the note, on the note of other cultures coming and learning our experience, I'm a New Mexican man who identifies as Chicano. Uno, in your definition, what is Chicano?
It's a geographical thing. That's really it. I mean, traditionally, that's what it is. You came, you know, your descent, your ancestors are from Mexico. You come to the United States, and you're labeled a Chicano, right? Mm. That's what it is. But ultimately, to me, like, there is no walls, there is no doors. Like, all these borders are man-made. All these ideas, all these laws. Like, they make new laws and give it right back to the lawmakers that did the other ones to begin with.
And they change every 4 years.
Yeah,
and
but
every
that's
two
why.
Years.
Yeah,
and,
like, yeah. It's all psychological trickery. You know what I mean? So for me, I build my own galaxy, and I stick to what I know is built on the foundation of purity.
When did you start learning about the history of our people and understanding we're native?
Very young.
Okay, who taught you that? Because nobody, I didn't know. I thought Mexican was like a, I didn't understand it was a nationality. It's not really, saying that we're Native American is scary because it I don't want to take away from our brothers, our Native American brothers and sisters who still live on tribal land.
Yeah.
But we were not taught that as we kind of spoke about a little earlier, we weren't taught that history. How did you come to, who taught you that?
You know, once in a while you run into a school where there's actually a good teacher.
Hey.
You know, there is
you,
some...
Obviously, you grew up in San Diego, right?
Yeah, I grew up in San Diego, you know, but every school that I went to every school because I got kicked out of all the schools.
How many high schools and junior highs?
I went to 3 high schools.
Yeah, I went to like 10 schools.
Yeah. There was only 3 in his town.
Yeah, okay, well, that's so, but, you know, I would run into a person in a leadership position that was actually a leader. Because we have a lot of that, too. We have a lot of people in these leadership positions that are not true leaders. You know, so there's misguided and deceptive information. You know, but like you said, you know, even from back in the day with Mayans and being scientists and storytellers, like they were trying to eradicate that.
Mm-hmm. And all of the thousands of tribes, not just we know Mayans and Aztecs, but there were so many tribes, so many languages that we lost. So much of our history was lost. I remember when I learned that the largest pyramid in the world is in Mexico.
Cholula, I just learned this.
And I was like, why didn't I learn that in school? I only learned about
Egypt,
pyramids. And it really is, I believe,
to keep
us dumbed
down. So I just learned this week that they actually, when the Spanish showed up, They literally just went and built a church right on top of that pyramid. And it's still standing there to this day.
Yeah, I went. I went to Chichen Itza. I went to Tulum.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
It's beautiful. Yeah. I went. I was swimming in the cenotes. And, you know, even in Yucatan, like, the whole culture is, like, beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's beautiful. And again, you know, I just think, like I said, it boils down to, like, the laws of humanity, the people in charge, the laws that they make. And then it trickles down to society. And then there's chaos.
And we just... I think understanding your history, embracing your culture, being positive, having fun together.
Yeah.
Come learn, like with the festival, your music. That's how you bring people in and so they understand. The whole notion of all of the negativity on mainstream media, like you said, it's just so scary to me that people only see our gente in a certain way. And it's just not true. It's just not true.
Yeah, when I did the El Chicano... single, the video. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Yeah, it's out right now. Tell us about the single album, and the album. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so, you know, it was important for me to go back to the neighborhood where I grew up.
Yes.
The house where Norman Carter is actually singing. I grew up in the house.
Oh.
That was the house where I grew up in.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I went back to the neighborhood and the entire community came out.
Dope.
You know, I used to be on the porch, that same porch, listening to the Delphonics on tape. And for me to be here now with one of the Delphonics.
That's wild.
It was crazy.
It's a full circle moment. Yeah.
But it's so generational. It's so generational. You know what I mean? Like everyone was there, from the kids. Everyone was there. And it was just a beautiful moment. You know, not only for me, but I just think for the culture, it was good. It was good. And to be able to make songs that project positivity and unity and community and togetherness and mutualism and love.
Mm.
What do you think about artists who... might be, I guess, rapping negativity. Do you think, and I don't want to say negativity, but it's their surroundings. It's what's happening in their lives. How do you feel about that? Do they have a responsibility to not do that? Or because I think if you're going through it, you got to tell your story.
Yeah.
But some people could say, well, why are you being so negative? Or why are you cursing? Or
I mean, you have albums from 2000 until now.
I mean, things change, right?
Things change.
Your life changes. Money situations change. Yeah. All of that changes. So wisdom comes.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think it boils down to the person and where he's at in his life. I mean, I have a lot
Or she.
You know, but there was very dark albums early in my career that were very derogatory. Mm-hmm. But it's
what was happening in your life.
It's inner poverty.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, you carry that inner poverty. You can be in Hawaii. You could be in a mansion. You could be driving the best car. But if you have inner poverty, it's going to show up wherever you go.
Mm.
So it's our job, you know, as humans and spirits, to take the time in solitude and not confuse loneliness and solitude. You know, being lonely and being in solitude are two different things. You actually get to evolve and grow in solitude. In loneliness, you make bad decisions. You know, so a lot of things happen in my life. Darkness happened. Death happened. You know, I lost people. I lost my brother. I lost my mother. I lost a lot of people. Being a father, having my children, you know, you have to operate different because it trickles down to them.
Because you want their lives to be better than yours.
And you can't tell them. You have to show them.
I agree 100%. Enrich your emotions.
1,000,000%.
That's the message. Yeah. Well, anything else you want to say to the fans or about your music or anything?
I just want to say, everybody out there earning your evolution, I love you to death and keep on going.
All right, Uno. Yeah, grab it, man.
Let's go.
Chicano out now.
Let's go.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.